The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
For Hetre Iska, loans and collections, please call the center at 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
In Parashat Tetzaveh, the Torah uses the word tamid, meaning always or constantly, twice. Once with respect to the tzitz, worn by the Kohen Gadol, the Torah says, V'hayal mitzcho tamid, l'ratzon lehem l'fnei Hashem. The tzitz should be on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, tamid, always, l'ratzon lehem l'fnei Hashem. And then later, the Torah uses the word tamid with respect to the carbon tamid. V'zeh asher taseh al ha-mizbech, you should bring on the mizbech, kvasim b'nei shana shnayim layom tamid. You should bring two sheep, tamid, every day, tamid. In the previous parasha, Parashas Truma, the Torah uses the word tamid with respect to the shulchan of the lechem apanim. The Torah commands, b'nosat ha hashulchan, lechem panim lefanai tamid. The lechem apanim should be on the shulchan, on the table, again, tamid. What does tamid mean in these three contexts? So, with respect to the carbon tamid, it's pretty clear. You don't bring the carbon tamid all day. You bring it every day, twice a day. So tamid there means consistently, constantly, every single day. In the other two cases, we have a machlokas tanaim about each one. With respect to the tzitz, what does tamid mean? So the Gemara in Maseches Yoma brings machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about whether the tzitz is meratzeh, whether the tzitz provides ritzvi before Hashem, whether the tzitz can atone for tumah, which is dechuyah hibitzibur. So the Gemara says that when the tzitz is tali besichsa, when the tzitz is not being worn, but it's hanging on a peg, is the tzitz meratzeh? So Rabbi Yehuda says no, al meitzach menasa, that it only provides the ritzui when it's al meitzach, when it's being worn by Aaron, when it's being worn by the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Shimon says no, you read the pasuk, v'yal mitzcho tamid l'ratzon l'fnei Hashem, the tzitz is always meratzeh, even when the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it. What does tamid mean, Rabbi Shimon says? It can't mean it has to be on his head all the time. Milo boy may ala beis akise, milo boy maynam. He can't wear the tzitz when he goes to the beis akise. He can't wear the tzitz when he sleeps. So it must mean that tamid meratzeh. Rashi and Chumash, when he brings this idea of Chazal, he says he can't wear the tzitz all the time because he only wears it b'shas avodah. The Gemara in Menachos doesn't say, the Gemara in Yoma doesn't say he only wears the B'shas Avod. It says that he can't wear it when he goes to the bathroom, he can't wear it when he sleeps. Rashi has a different version of this idea that he only wears the B'shas Avod. So what Tamid does not mean, according to everyone, what Tamid does not mean is the Kohen Gadol literally wears it Tamid all the time. According to Rabbi Shimon, what it means is that it's Tamid Meratzeh, the tzitz is always Meratzeh, regardless of whether he's wearing it or not. What does Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda said, it's not Meratzeh when he's not wearing it. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, what does tamid mean? It means tamid shel yisiach daita mimenu. It has to be constantly on his mind. And the Gemara says tefillin has the same din. A person has to be mamashmesh betfila. A person has to touch his tefillin b'chol shah b'shah all the time. Kal v'chomer mitzitz. Tzitz only has askara achas. It only has one shem Hashem. The Torah says al mitzcho tamid. Rabbi Yehuda darshins al mitzcho tamid means shel yisiach daita mimenu. It has to always be on his mind. He has to always be thinking about it. Always remember it. Tefillin has many shemas, as karas harbe, alachas kama v'kama. So these are the two pshatim of the Gemara in what tamid of the tzitz means. It does not mean he wears it all the time. It either means it's meratzeh all the time, even when he's not wearing it, or it means that he can't be mesiach das. It has to be on his mind, figuratively. He has to be thinking about it and remembering it all the time. What is tamid about the lechem apanim mean? So the Gemara Menachos says that's also machlokas tanan. The Gemara says that they replaced the lechem apanim once a week with fresh bread, with new bread. So how did they remove the old bread and place the new bread on? So the Tanakhama says that there was tifcha shel zeh, k'neged tifcha shel zeh. They would push the old bread off with the new bread because it says tamid, lechem apanim has to always be there. They couldn't just take off the lechem apanim as you would normally do and replace it with new bread because then there'd be a moment at least when there's no bread on the shulchan. So they had to use the new bread to push off the old bread so there would always be bread on the shulchan. Rabbi Yossi says you don't have to do that. Afilu elu notlin ve'elu manichin. You can take off the old bread, bring on the new bread later. That's also tamid. The Gemara brings a braisa. Rav Yossi elaborates upon his shita. He says, "Afilu silek es yeshana shachris." Even if you remove the old bread in the morning, besider es chadasha arvis, and then hours go by and you don't put on the new bread till the evening, you have much more than a moment. You have hours where there's no bread on the shulchan. Ein bekachlum. That does not violate the Torah's mitzvah of tamid. What does the Torah mean? Lefanai tamid. It means shlo yolin shulchan b'lo lechem. You can't go a night without lechem. By the time night falls, you have to have new bread. But tamid doesn't mean literally all the time. That's what the Tanakhama seems to hold. Rabbi Yossi says tamid means you can't have a day or a night without lechem. So here again, we have a machlokas. The Tanakhama here seems to understand that tamid means literally all the time. Rabbi Yossi says tamid means each day, each night, there has to be lechem. The Gemara goes on. The Gemara says a tremendous ramification, lahalacha, practical halacha from Rabbi Yossi. We don't do the lechem upon him today. But Rav Ami says, midvarav shel Rabbi Yossi nilmod, that a person has to learn Torah all the time, but you don't have to learn Torah literally every minute. Even if a person learns perek echad shachris, perek echad arvis, he fulfills the mitzvah of lo yamish asefer ha-Torah demipicha v'gisa b'yom v'layla. In Yeshua it says that the Torah can never leave you. It doesn't use the word tamid, but it says lo yamish, the Torah can never depart from you, and you have to learn it yomim v'layla. It doesn't mean literally all day. It means, according to Rav Yossi, every day and every night, at least something every day and every night. Every day has to have some lechem, every night has to have some lechem. So every day has to have some Torah, every night has to have some Torah, but you don't have to learn literally all the time. Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rishim Ben Yochai says even less than that. You don't even have to learn a perek. He says even Kriyashma, Shacharis, Ba'arvis, that's already a fulfillment according to this view of Lo Yomish. But you shouldn't say this with Nei Amaretz. You shouldn't tell Nei Amaretz this because then he won't bother teaching his children Talmud Torah. He'll think it's good enough to say Kriyashma. Rava says it's a mitzvah to say this to an Amaretz before an Amaretz because he'll think that even Kriyashma is so great, Kol Shekein if he learns more Torah. Rashi brings another pshat that he'll think that the Rabbanan could just do Kriyat Shema and they learn all day. It must be that Torah is really great. Anyway, this is all within the shita of Rabbi Yossi, apparently. Rabbi Yossi says, lechem apanim doesn't mean all the time, it means at least once during the day and at least once during the night. So Torah also at least once during the day and once during the night. The Gemara is not finished. The Gemara goes on. A famous striking anecdote. It says Ben Dama, who was the nephew of Rabbi Yishmael, Ben Achoshu Shal Rabbi Yishmael, asked Rabbi Yishmael, "Kigon ani, someone like me, I've learned Kol HaTorah Kula, whatever that means. He's learned somebody of knowledge that's called Kol HaTorah Kula. Can I go learn Chachmas Yivanis? Can I go learn Chachmas Yivanis?" He told him, "Nope, can't do that." It says Lo Yamish Sefer Torah Zemipicha Begisa Beyom VeLaila. You have to learn Torah all the time, day and night. So unlike the previous step in the Gemara, which seems to understand that Yomim V'Layla means one perek or Kriyashma during the day and one at night, he understood, no, Yomim V'Layla means all day and all night. The only solution for you is, Teyu V'Dok, Shosh, Eina Lomina Yom V'Lomina Laila, find some time that's neither day nor night. That's something that doesn't exist, Rashi said. There is no such time, and then you can learn Chacham Sivanis, meaning you can't do it because, contrary to what we said before, the Gisva Yomim V'Layla means that you have to learn Torah all the time. The Gemara itself says it's machlokas. Instead of saying it's machlokas with what we said before, the Gemara says it's machlokas with Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, because he says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Pasuk Zeh of Lo Yamish is not a chova, it's not a mitzvah, it's a bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Yeshua loved Torah, Divrei Torah Chavivim Alav, B'Yoser, that he never left Moshe's side, Lo Yamish Mitoch HaOhel, so he told him that you love Torah so much, Lo Yamish Tevei Torah Zemin Picha, it's a bracha, it's not a chiyuv at all. There is a Ran. The Ran is going on Nedarim. The Gemara Nedarim also brings this idea. The Gemara is discussing a person makes a Neder to Mizaris himself to learn Torah. So it says he's not considered Mushbava Ome to learn already because learning Torah he could be Yotze just with Kriyashma Shachris Varvis. The Ran says he can't take that Gemara at face value. Even though the Gemara says this in Nedarim and in Menachos, Lav Dafki says even if you're Mekayim Lo Yomish by doing that, he says you have a Chiyav to learn. You do have a chiyuv to learn Torah Yom V'Layla, he says, Kefi Kachol, as much as you can, because Gemara in Kedushin says, a different pasuk, V'shinantam, Shiyu Dvei Torah M'chudadim B'ficha, you have to have the Torah well ingrained into your mind. If someone asks you a question, you should answer right away. Certainly you're not going to get there by just Kriyashma Shachris V'Arvis. So clearly there's a chiyuv to learn Torah all the time, to satisfy V'shinantam. So what does Gemara mean? You can get away with Kriyashma Shachris Varvis. He says that's what's mefurish in the pasuk, and in Hilchas Nedarim, that's important. What's explicit in the pasuk? What's not explicit in the pasuk? But certainly he says, even if, in terms of the pasuk of Loyamish, you can get away with Kriyash Mashakris Farvis, but actually, halach l'maaseh, there's a chiyuv to learn kvi kocho, as much as you can, otherwise there's no way that you're going to be able to know, to be mekayim, the requirement of a shinanta. Ben Dama, Bishmal's nephew, apparently did learn Kala Torah Kula, and he wanted to know about Chachmas Yavanis, and he was told you still can't do that, because you have to have Yomam V'layla, even though, again, as we've seen, the Gemara has different opinions about what the Gizma Yom V'layla means, whether it's a bracha or a mitzvah, whether it means, according to Rabbi Yossi, just like Tamid means not all the time, but Tamid means consistently, every single day and every single night, but not all day and all night. There are different opinions why Tamid in the context of the Shulchan is interpreted differently from Tamid in the context of the Tzitz. Also a question, I'll call upon him, but there is this pasuk of Yisrael Yom V'Layla, which is one of the main makaras for the mitzvah, for the chiyuv of learning Torah all the time. The Gemara Menachah says it's not really so simple, it's not so clear what that means. Even if it's a mitzvah, it's not really clear that that means you have to learn all the time. Perhaps, as the Gemara suggests, perhaps, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's enough, just like Rabbi Yossi says about the Lechem Apanim, it's enough to learn Torah one perek or Kriyashma, just Kriyashma during the day and once at night. The Gemara seems to have at least one stage in which it proposes the same thing could be true for Talmud Torah. This question in general that the Ran addresses, that the Gemara is addressing, this is a general question that later poskim touch on in various ways. This is the question of leisure. What is the attitude of the Torah, of the Halacha, to leisure activity? Everyone agrees that the Gemara in Brachas, about Rabbi Yishmael, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, about whether a person is allowed to work, v'asav tad deganecha. Certainly, generally, the Pukhazi Mayama Dabar, the minhag is that even pious Jews, even observant Jews, they work, they make a living. People eat, we eat, we sleep, we certainly do other things that even if the things that are not actually mitzvahs, instead of learning Torah, we learn Torah when we can, but we do other things also. The question is, what about leisure? What about reading a book for pleasure, playing chess, playing baseball? What about other types of activities, playing board games? What is the halacha's attitude toward leisure in general? So one question we have to ask ourselves is bittul Torah, that even Ben Dama wanted to learn Chachmas Yavanis. He was told that he can't because he has to do V'gitzvah Yom V'Layla. So does the mitzvah of Talmud Torah leave any room for leisure activity? And furthermore, there's another question Post can discuss in the context of many leisure activities, perhaps even more, invoked even more often than bittul Torah, and that is the question of Moshev Leitzim. Very first couple of psukim in Tehillim, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzas rishayim, uv'derech ha'teim lo amad, uv'moshav leitzim lo yashav. Three things that you shouldn't do. You shouldn't walk in the eitzah of rishayim. You shouldn't stand in the derech of chataim. Uv'moshav leitzim lo yashav. And you don't sit in a moshav leitzim. Moshav leitzim, that phrase of the three phrases in the pasuk is perhaps the most famous and the most widely invoked. Moshav leitzim, very difficult phrase to translate. A leitz is a scoffer, a skeptic, a cynic, someone who doesn't respect things of value, things of worth, of seriousness. But as we'll see, poskim expand the notion of moshev leitzim to include, some poskim at least, extended quite broadly to include a fairly broad swath of activities that we would think are perhaps innocent or harmless pleasures. Poskim nevertheless often say that if something isn't a constructive activity with a clear and concrete purpose, it falls into the category of moshev leitzim. The discussion begins with a gemara in Avodah Zarah. The gemara in Avodah Zarah, well, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, if two people sit and they don't have divrei Torah between them, that's a moshev leitzim already. Even if they're not making fun of things, if they just talk about economics, the economy, the weather, politics, apparently, if they don't discuss divrei Torah, that itself is a moshev leitzim. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah expands on this. The Gemara gives a number of examples. You had to, I guess, be there in the culture of the ancient pagans to fully understand what the Gemara is talking about, but the Gemara brings various examples of Roman or Greek culture that are moshev leitzim. Someone goes to Ichtadinin, Ulakarkom, stadiums. These probably refer to gladiator stadiums where people are forced to fight each other and kill each other or fight against animals. And he sees the snakes and all kinds of strange things, clowns and magicians, Bukion, Mukion, Mulion, Lulion, Blurion, Salgurion. That's moshev leitzim. That's what the pasuk means when it says that you shouldn't do all those things. Rather, kiyum b'taras Hashem cheftzo. That these things are bittul Torah. So the Gemara connects moshev leitzim and bittul Torah. going to these types of theaters and stadiums, the Gemara says, is Moshe Vleitzin. Those who go to Ashrei HaYesh, who doesn't go to Tartios, theaters, and Karkisos, circuses, the words even are the same words we use today, theaters and circuses, and also La'amed B'Kanigion, he doesn't get involved, he doesn't participate or even observe, he hasn't even watched these Kanigion, which are some type of Moshe Vleitzin involving animals. Again, these are all things that the Gemara says are Moshe Vleitzin. And the Arzarua, Rabbi Yitzchak of Vienna, back in one of the major Rishonim already says, hunting. The people talk about hunting, they talk about the Tshuva the Nodeb Yehuda, who has issues with cruelty and danger involved. But the Arzarua said hunting is prohibited, recreational hunting is, as opposed to professional hunting to make a living. But recreational hunting, hunting just for fun. Today we play baseball, and today we play tennis. Back then, even today, some people hunt as a form of leisure and recreation. Says the Arzarua, anyone who hunts with dogs the way the non-Jews do, he will not merit to see the Simcha the Levyasan in the time of Mashiach. The Gemara says, "Bederech atayim lo amad, bekanigion shalahem," things involving trapping animals. They do it for Simcha and for Schok, they do it for entertainment and leisure. And he says that's someone who does not get involved in these things, who does not watch and observe these things, he'll be zoche l'rosa and lasid lavo. Hashem will reward him later. Star Zerua said hunting in his time was similar to the theaters and circuses of the Gemara. It was a Moshe Vleitzin. He invokes these psukim. He brings this Gemara and b'derech atam lo amad. He brings this whole sugya and he says that's something that a person should not do. Similarly, the Mari Bruna was asked, is a Jew allowed to watch horse races when the Goyim, the Arelim, when they race horses? And is he allowed to watch the jousting? That was a medieval form of entertainment. The knights, the soldiers would fight against each other as training, as for play. Are you allowed to watch these things? So horse races, he says yes. He says a horse race is like what we would call an auto show. You go to see which are the good horses. You want to buy a horse. A Jew needs a good horse, he says. You have to buy horses to get away from the enemies, he says. So that's a productive, a constructive endeavor to go to a horse race. I don't think that would apply today when horses are not used for anything except recreation and gambling. But at least at that time, horses were like cars today, so they were useful. However, he says, to go watch the jousting, he says, when they ride against each other with poles and things, he says, that he's not sure. And again, in the Shaila, he invokes the Gemara Avodah Zarah, the issue of Moshe Vleitzin, the trapping animals. He wasn't sure whether watching these medieval jousting, whether that would be considered Moshe Vleitzin or not. He was not actually sure that such things are mutter. So again, this is not really brought in Shulchan Aruch, a clear definition of what Moshe Vleitzin is, but we have these various examples already in the Rishonim and the Arzarua, the Mari Bruna, different types of entertainment that were popular in the culture of their time, that they said it's an issue of Moshe Vleitzin. And there are actually those who apply this to modern things like ball games. From Menashe Klein, who's doesn't have much use for Western culture in general, certainly. He's somewhat extreme on these types of issues. But he says to go watch people play ball. Mischakim Bakador, ball play balaz, he says. Besides Bittelsman, he says, it's the Isser of Moshe Vleitzin. Even to listen on the radio, he says, or the television, he says, it's Bittel Torah. And maybe it's not Moshe Vleitzin if you're in your own house. If you don't go and congregate with the Leitzim, he says, it's still Bittel Torah and other things. But actually going to a stadium, he argues, is Moshe Vleitzin. So, again, we find Moshe Vleitzin being invoked by the early poskim and some of the later poskim to prohibit various forms of leisure activity. The truth is, however, there are other areas in which we find considerable debates among the poskim as to whether these activities are Moshe Vleitzin or not. One of the most interesting questions is gambling. Gambling on Hanukkah in particular. People today sometimes think that dreidel is an ancient Hanukkah tradition, that the rabbis do it, and people do it as a great Jewish thing. Gambling, some of the great poskim we'll discuss soon, we're very much against on Hanukkah. They think that was somehow a later adulteration of the spirit of Hanukkah. The truth is, it's actually the other way around. Dreidel doesn't have sources going back more than about 250 years ago. The earliest recorded sources we have of dreidel and Hanukkah go back not more than 250 years. Gambling on Hanukkah is brought in the poskim is actually a minhag that goes back at least 600 years. The earliest references to gambling on Hanukkah appear in some of the German poskim about 600 years ago. We have, for example, the Ma'arivayla. We have the Marival mentions in passing. It was a tshuva about Shalom Bayis, about a man who was accused of not behaving properly to his wife. Not that he was physically abusing her, he was wasting his money on gambling and bars, he was partying, and he wasn't living like a sober, responsible Jewish husband. And she wanted, she said, Ma'asalai, I don't like him, I can't deal with this, I want my ksuva. The husband's defense was, no, I'm not a wastrel, I don't sit there and gamble, I don't gamble profligately, improperly. The only time I gamble is on Hanukkah, which is the minhag. My gambling is limited to when it's socially acceptable, for example, Hanukkah. So the Marival doesn't discuss the halachas of Hanukkah, he discusses the Ebenezer aspect of this, but he mentioned this was the person's defense. My defense was, I only gamble on Hanukkah because that's the minhag. Marival lets that go without comment. So apparently we have an early source that there was a minhag to gamble on Hanukkah. We find this explicitly, even more directly, mentioned in Mari Bruna, around the same time. Mari Bruna said that there was once a kehila that made a takana. Very often local kehilas would make local takanas to forbid gambling because it destroyed the social fabric. It was a terrible problem for society. Problem gambling. So the kehila made a takana. They banned gambling except for days that were like Yom Tovim, where you don't say Tachnun, including Hanukkah. So they allowed gambling on Hanukkah. Not all year, but on Hanukkah they allowed it. So they had a lamdish question. The question was, what about the night after Hanukkah? Is that still, Hanukkah's really over already, but is that nichlal in the heter of Hanukkah? So they asked the Trumas Hadeshen, Rabbi Yisrael of Marburg, the Trumas Hadeshen. He said it's mutter, because there were two questions. First of all, the night before Hanukkah, he said it was mutter, and he says, and he brings two versions of the question. He says that the Hanukkah b'chia gav n'mutter l'ischok, v'halayla achar Hanukkah, they asked the Mari Marburg, and he was mutter. And he says that, he said that we haven't gotten to the point we say Tachnun yet, so I'm sorry, this was the question about the night after Hanukkah, and he said, until you get to the day that you say Tachnun, which is the next morning, you can still gamble. So this apparently was a takana. Again, they don't comment whether this was a good takana, a bad takana, but they think it was a valid takana. They allowed gambling on Hanukkah, and they even allowed it Matzei Hanukkah, according to the nusach of this takana. Trumas Hadeshen himself, incidentally, in another tshuva, discusses gambling in the context of Pesach. He says that he remembers that there were certain people, he says, who had a minhag on Pesach, that they would avoid playing cards. Doesn't say if they were gambling or playing other types of card games. They would avoid playing cards on Pesach. And he wasn't 100% sure why, but he said, Yesh Lomar, maybe the reason is because they were trying to avoid playing on the tables, the dining tables, the tables where they ate, because the cards had starches in them, on them of chametz, and there would be, maybe crumbs would fall off the cards into the food, and so on. But apparently gambling, card playing was a normal activity. The medaktikim, people who were particularly careful about kashrus, would avoid playing with cards on the tables on Pesach because they were afraid that some chametz would fall into the food. We find later poskim, we find the sefer Noah Kitzon Yosef, the Noah Kitzon Yosef of Rav, one of the German poskim, Rav Yosef Yosva Kosman. So he said that, he also mentions, he says, B'chol HaKehilos, in German communities, they made gzeiros not to play games the whole year, except for Hanukkah and Purim. On Hanukkah and Purim, they allowed gambling, they allowed these games. He says grudgingly, it's not because they thought it was a halakha way to celebrate Hanukkah, but it was keneged yetzer hara, mutav sheyokel basar tmushos v'shchutos, better that they eat something which is technically mutter than do isurim. Not clear exactly what he means. We'll see later. Some poskim worried if we don't give them some outlet, they'll do worse things when they're off from work. Maybe that was the concern. But Lamai said that was the minhag they allowed, albeit grudgingly, they allowed gambling on Hanukkah. One of the most interesting references to this custom appears in the Chavos Yar. The Chavos Yar says, when he was young, he says, the Rabbanim, the Balei HaTakanos, led by his father, he says, the great Gaon, his father, they wanted to change the minhag. The old German minhag, again, was that they used to allow gambling dafka on Hanukkah, all year long not, but they gave an outlet, a heter, to gamble on Hanukkah. And his father, the chassid, was very upset. He says, these days that were established for lahodos or lahalel, now they're set aside for gambling, and kalos, said that this is a terrible thing. So he wanted to move them over to the days of the non-Jewish holidays, meaning between Christmas and New Year's. Because anyway, they're not working then, people are home. So let's move the gambling then. Let them gamble on those holidays and celebrate Hanukkah properly. Lo also biyadim, he says, the Rabbanim were not able to do this. Kilo hiskimu l'shanas minhag. This was a venerable minhag. People were used to gambling on Hanukkah. They wouldn't give up their Hanukkah gambling, and therefore the Rabbanim couldn't switch it. So again, we have a, particularly among the German communities, we have an old tradition of gambling. Some of the Rabbanim expressed a grudging acceptance of it. Others just mention it without comment. But it was an old custom that German communities used to tolerate gambling on Hanukkah. The Chasam Sofer talks about, was asked the question, should we be marish against those who, should we raise an outcry against those who play kvetlach on Hanukkah? He says, we tried it, he says. He says that there was once a community that did prohibit gambling on, for a certain period, including the in certain days, he says. Not clear which days, Yimei Chagam, he says, the non-Jewish holidays, Yisrael Kedoshim or Machmer, he says. However, it backfired, he says, because it caused, they don't have anything to do, people are bored, people idle hands of the devil's work, it causes Machlokas, Lashon Hara, when they're batel, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, batelim avili de zima and shimam, so Jews didn't know how to use their time properly. If they didn't have the relatively wholesome outlet of card playing and gambling, they would get involved in Machlokas and Lashon Hara, he says, batelim avili de harbim machsholim, Amarti, Yisrael ben Neviim hem, Kamarenu hen Higu Kain. So we should allow it, he says. He says, it's great if people could learn all the time. He says, not everyone does it, he says. They get involved in fights, he says, and Hashchasa. We shouldn't ask her, he says. We should give him a break, because it's better than the alternative. Maybe that's what the Noi Ketan Yosef meant also. He says, certainly those who are Lom de Torah, that they have the koach to study Torah, then they should learn Torah, he says. But not everyone can do that, he says, and therefore, it's understandable that they allowed gambling because people need some kind of outlet and they can't really learn all the time. It's just not going to work. Elsewhere, the Chasam Sofer actually discusses the question of Moshe Vleitzim. Elsewhere, the Chasam Sofer himself says that he doesn't understand how people can just engage. The Chasam Sofer says that, regarding Schok, he says, how can people do it? It's Moshe Vleitzim. But here, the Chasam Sofer recognized, even if it's not the ideal way to spend your time, sometimes it'll be better than the alternative, and we should tolerate it. Now, among the later Achronim, we have the Bir Halacha and the Aruch HaShulchan, two of the great 20th century poskim, both were vehemently opposed to gambling on Hanukkah. Bir Halacha writes, Bavonseinu Harabim, there are Anoshim, instead of singing Zmiras and Sishpachos to praise Hashem, instead they play cards, Kartin, and the Sfar Makdoshim were marish against this, he says, Shomer Nafshe Yerchuk Mizah. Aruch HaShulchan also, he says, that those who, talks about Suda, but he says, those who play cards, Beklofim, Onshan Rav, very similar to the Chavetz Chaim, Bavonaseinu Harabim, Nispashta Neged Saras, Hazeb Beis Yisrael, Oilanu Sha'olsa B'Yameinu Kach, he says, Kama Mine Averis Tluyas B'Zeh, it's a terrible, terrible thing, V'hu Rachum Yichaper Oven, anyone who has the power to mevatel this terrible custom, Schara Merubah Ma'od, and gambling is unacceptable. It's striking, however, that around the same time, Even in the 20th century, we have one fairly staunch defender of card playing and of leisure, and that is, of all people, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld has a fascinating series of tshuvas in Salmas Chaim. He was asked by some kanoi, we think of him as a kanoi, but in some cases he's quite a moderate. In this case, he was asked repeatedly by some kanoi who wanted to condemn and ban all forms of leisure, and the Salmas Chaim repeatedly brushes him off. The fellow asked him, Hanukkah and other times, people are mekil and they play schok, he says, and they say that Bnei Torah do this. Tzarchian, what's the hatter? It's Bittel Torah, he was asked. So he also acknowledges in Hanukkah the minhag was to play and to do these types of things. What's the hatter? It's Bittel Torah. Brings it to Mitzvah Deshen about people who played cards and Pesach, they avoided it, but apparently they used to play. What's the hatter? It's Bittel Torah. How are you allowed to play games? This person asked him. Says Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, no, he says, we find in Chazal that people used to go for walks, they used to have leisure activities, he says, Eish Lischok, he says, like Shlomo HaMelech said, Efshru B'chal Eish Lischok, they have to do it because they can't be batel, the person can't learn all day, he says, not everyone is mesugal to learn Torah all the time, and batala, like the Chasam Sofer said, is a terrible thing, so they allowed people to have some relatively harmless leisure activities. And he said, he goes so far as to say, contrary to the Aruch HaShulchan and the Bir Halacha, who talk about how it's a terrible, terrible minhag, and you have to mevatel it, he says, Pongfakar, he says, Ein lahar achar minhag Yisrael am kadosh, you shouldn't cast aspersions on a minhag Yisrael, He says that, like the Chasam Sofer said, it's better than the alternative of having worse things, like listening to the news. He was not a big fan of politics and the news. People are going to get involved in that kind of thing, he says. Leave him alone, he says. People are human beings. They can't learn Torah all the time. They have to be allowed the chance to play a little bit, including on Chanukah. That was the Shaul said, the Chanukah. The Rosh Chaim said, people need it. People can't just learn Torah all the time. So the fellow pushed back, his correspondent pushed back, and he says, I don't understand. How is it not Bittul Torah, he says. You have to learn Talmud, he says. The Gemara says, Tehu Bedok, Shoshin Elomen Ayom Velomen Elayla. You have to learn all the time. So, and Ben Dama had no chance to learn Chachmas Yavanis, he says. So how are you allowed to learn, how are you allowed to do this, he says. So he says, maybe if someone is sick, he can do that, he says, but just to allow a general heter for everyone to have leisure, I don't understand. What's the heter? Rav Yosef Chaim's correspondent said. Says Rav Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, nope. He says, many times doctors say that a person needs some kind of break. The leisure is good for him. Teal is good for him. Sometimes they'll say, don't engage yourself in heavy intellectual activity. Just play a little bit. It's healthy, he said. So the fellow, Rav Yosef Chaim's correspondent, tried one more time. He says, I understand the chola, someone who's actually sick, maybe needs that, he says. The doctor, he'll have a note from his doctor. He has to play a little bit, he says. But a stam person, he says, that you have the Gemara. The Gemara says about Ben Dama, he had no hatter to learn Chachmas Yavanis. So a regular person has to learn all the time. There's no hatter to engage in leisure activities. He keeps bringing the fact that the Rishonim said that reading history, reading the Sifrei Malachim, reading the Greek literature, reading things like that is Moshev Leitzim. Even Bechol, you're not allowed to do that. Rishonim say that. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch. So how are you, Tosfos and the Rush? So you can't just do stuff that has no purpose. So what's the heter? Unless you're sick and you have a doctor's dispensation that you need some leisure, he says. What's the heter, he said. Rav Yosef Chaim told him one last time, he said, I saw your hasagas, he says. I just told you my opinion, my das nota, but I'm not chosen from anything I said. Hagam Shainlef, he says, this is my opinion. This is what I hold. Leisure is healthy. Leisure is normal. People need it, he says. And you can't just tell everyone that they have to learn Torah all the time. It's not a realistic thing to do. And therefore, so unlike the Bir Alach and the Aruch HaShulchan, who felt that card playing in particular, at least on Chanukah, was a terrible thing, Rav Yosef Chaim's tshuvas are not primarily around, Chanukah, but the Shaul did mention Chanukah was the time people did it, and he had no objection. He just, again, I don't know how meduyik all these tshuvas are, but he said, leisure is healthy, leisure is normal, don't condemn people for having a little bit of innocent fun. One final case we'll talk about that Poskim discuss, Moshev Leitzim and Bittul Torah, is chess. So we find in some of the early sources among the Sfardim that some of the Sfardi Gedolim used to apparently enjoy chess. The Knesset Gedola says that Mori Harav, his Rebbe, that's the Marit presumably, and Kol Gedolei Hadar, he says, would not object when people played chess, Iskaki, which is probably chess. He says, moreover, he even heard about his Rebbe, that when his Rebbe the Marit saw people playing chess, he would join them. He would teach them moves. He would teach them Derech HaSchok. He would give them advice and guidance on how to play well. For another great gadol of that time, he says, Rabbi Chil Basan, I heard about him, he says, that he used to play himself chess, he says, and that was the minhag, he says. He's discussing other things, not primarily Moshev Leitzim, he's discussing the gambling questions and so on. But the Knesset Gedolah says that there were Gedolei Torah of his time, 400 years ago, a generation before him, that they used to be chess players themselves, and they tolerated chess, and chess was considered a legitimate activity, and that's chess. The Prima Gadim, however, has a comment, this is brought in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Shabbos, the discussion about playing chess on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah brings the Prima Gadim over there in Hilchas Shabbos that during the week, at least, where there's no issur of Shabbos, if it's your parnasa, you can play. If you're a professional player, but if it's just latil huose, if you're just playing for fun, where there's no constructive purpose, so the Prima Gadim says, Mishnah Berurah brings, it's Moshev Leitzim. It's something of a pella. Mishnah Berurah is just so similar with Moshev Leitzim, where we have testimony of Gedolei Torah, of the Kadmonim, of the early Achronim, who used to play and used to tolerate it and condone it. Maybe it depends. I call it Mashu Adam, a person who is capable of learning should learn, but Hamona maybe not. I'll call upon him. We do have ample sources from the early Poskim who said that from among the early Achronim who did say that chess was normal. Shabbos is a question, but at least during the week, that chess was a normal activity. It was not something that was usher because of Moshe Vleitzer. Menachas Yitzchak is unhappy about playing chess on Shabbos, he says. Certainly those who can learn Torah should Taras Yeger Yom V'Laila. Even B'chol, he says, Yesh Lodin Harbe, whether chess is appropriate activity even during the week, he says. And people say it sharpens the mind, he says, but Sefer Reishis Chachma condemned it and said that even during the week you shouldn't do it, and certainly not on Shabbos, which is for Limud HaTorah. So Lamaisa, even when it comes to chess, we find conflicting views. At the end of the day, we have very little definition in the poskim, what is Moshe Vleitz and what is not. Again, the Rishonim said literature is usur, but today many people do read literature. Chess we find is a machlokas. Sports. Rav Shlomo Aviner has a discussion about various forms of Moshe Vleitz, and he gives you a handy Aleph Beis index of things he thinks are usur and mutter. Some of his conclusions, perhaps, are rather surprising. Bowling, he says, type of Moshe Vleitzim, and Taruvas, men and women. He says, sports, he says. He says, personal sport, just for exercise, is fine, but elitist sports, competitive sports, at a high level, he says, Moshe Vleitzim, and so on. Imaginative literature, fantasy, Harry Potter, he says, that certainly you shouldn't read, he says. It's full of Havalim and Shtuyot, and it's Maorer, bad Amunos. And so on, circus, usher, even a frum circus without women is usher, theater, usher, he says, so again, some poskim are quite strict, other poskim are more lenient, again, the early Sfaradim were still playing chess, it's hard to know what the exact definition of Moshe Vleitzim is, and at the end of the day, to some extent, I guess, Pukhazi Mayama Dabar, certain of these activities are fairly common, bowling certainly, and playing games like chess. The minhag, I think, clearly is to be makil, but again, how to define exactly what is Moshe Vleitzim and what constitutes Bittul Torah, and whether we take the more tolerant approach of Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld or a stricter approach is a difficult question.
The Beis Chabad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultations, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.